En la obra, el tiempo vale oro. Por eso en Lowe's tenemos ProBlock Quick Dry Primer hecho por Sherwin-Williams. Diseñado para los pros con aplicación uniforme, tiempos de secado rápido y resultados impecables. Disponible en base de aceite o agua. Ordena en línea antes de las 2 p.m. y recibe entrega gratis el mismo día. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Pedidos hechos después de las 2 p.m. se entregan al día siguiente. Válido en códigos postales electos, sujeto a disponibilidad de conductores. Aplican más términos.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. And with no long-term contracts required, you can change your setup whenever your business needs change. Protect your business with powerful features designed to keep you in complete control. Get round-the-clock audio-video recording for non-stop protection. Stop scrolling through hours of footage. Find almost any events efficiently with AI search. Keep an eye on up to 4 camera feeds at once across all your locations for total peace of mind. Get trained security professionals to monitor your business around the clock and request emergency when needed. Ring Business is easy to install yourself or let our professional installers do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Ring Business, business security that works for you. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Hand off to Cook, through a hole, and darts it to the open, and he is G-O-N-E gone. 20, 10, 5, touchdown, James Cook, as the cook is in the kitchen for the first time in 3 games. It's a screenplay to him, blockers in front, gets up the sideline, but he's met by Hairston, who drops him at the 29. There's some physical play from the rookie. Back to pass. Quick hitter to Shakir. Spins away from the defender. He's up the sideline. 35-30. Down to the 20. Cuts it back. 15. 10. 5. Touchdown. Khalil Shakir. Old reliable. Goes 54 yards to the end zone. Takes the snap. 4-man rush. Back to pass. But Hoyt collapsing the pocket again. And he's after him. And he's got him on a second effort. For the sack, the Canadian Crusher drops him.
Chris Brown on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network on the calls right there. Sal Capaccio with you right here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Let's waste no time and get the phone lines fired up today with your calls on a Buffalo football victory Monday for the first time here in a month, right? Last time was week 4. We're to week 8. Bills get a victory, 40-9 over the Carolina Panthers. And, of course, our victory Monday, Buffalo. WGR Sports Radio 550 Extra Point Show is brought to you by and presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com and by Northtown Hyundai, Western New York's premier Hyundai dealership. Shop online at northtownhyundai.com. We have a whole bunch to get to today, but first and foremost, of course, you getting on the phone lines at 803-0550. You know how this works on a Monday, win or lose, a couple losses we've had, then a bye week, and now back to winning ways. And the Bills have a big 31-point victory over the Carolina Panthers. And how this works is you give a call, the floor is yours, what you liked, what you didn't like, questions, comments, concerns. Bills with a big win Sunday and a big game next Sunday against the Kansas City Chiefs. We are live on the YouTube stream. Are we on Twitch too or just YouTube? We're on Twitch as well, Owen tells me. Okay. We're live on YouTube. We're live on Twitch. So you might be watching on Twitch. I got the YouTube stream pulled up, and I'll just say hello to everybody out there. We got Jake and Dirt and JT and Sabbath and the cast of characters coming in. And if I miss you, I'm sorry. AC, Todd, thank you very much for coming aboard today. You guys can chat away. I will be here with you doing the show, and you can talk amongst yourselves and whatever else you got going on a Buffalo football victory Monday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. Okay, 40-9. You heard a few things there from Chris Brown on the calls, James Cook, Maxwell Hairston, Khalil Shakir, and Michael Hoyt. And I think those are four names that really helped, you know, this team to victory. Now, Hairston, yes, he did, but more so for him was getting out there and playing. We'll get to all of that in a minute because I have Arrow Up, Arrow Down at WGR550.com. I'd like you to go take a look at that at some point today because I always write, you know, what I liked, what I didn't like about the game, my instant reactions, not seeing the 30,000-foot view from the television and all 22, just instant reactions from seeing what I see, eye level on the field, box score, things like that. And what I saw on the field yesterday, overall for the Buffalo Bills, was a dominant, and I mean dominant, running game. Folks, James Cook is special. He is special. He is great at what he does. Look, this morning, James Cook is second in the NFL right now in rushing behind only Jonathan Taylor, who's putting together, by the way, a historic season in his own right for the Indianapolis Colts. James Cook, though, is averaging more yards per carry than Jonathan Taylor. After seven games, an NFL running back, James Cook, is averaging 6.0 yards a carry on 126 carries. It's amazing. 753 yards. Now, Taylor's played an extra game. He's got 850. Cook could pass him once the Colts have their bye week, whenever that is. I'll have to look up. But the point here is, though, about James Cook and the day and the season he's having, the day he had yesterday, I think I'd be remiss not to start with his historic performance. 216 yards rushing. And, I mean, to put it in perspective, that rushing performance was the sixth best all-time in franchise history, a franchise that's existed for over 60 years, and it was the best performance, yards-wise, since 1976. I said to James Cook after the game in the locker room, I said, dude, that's the best performance since I was 2 years old, and I'm an old dude. And he just kind of laughed. It's crazy. Think about it. 1976. I was three, actually. But it's crazy. And the dominant run game was because of a dominant offensive line and excellent run game play calling. I have never seen that many toss sweeps in my life. And guess what? It was working and effective, and that's why you keep doing it. Did a live podcast last night after the game with Matt Bove on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo, and someone in the chat box said all they did was run toss sweep. Yeah, that's right, because it worked, and it was great. Keep running it. Just keep running it until they stop it. And there were a couple times he did, and especially after you took James Cook out. And that's kind of what I mean by when you watch him, he's special. Like, James Cook just is different. And to see that performance up close last night, that was historic. To be on the field, very cool to watch that. And yes, James Cook does smile, and so does Josh Allen. After his long run, well, he had two, but the real long one you heard there for the touchdown, 64 yards. Big smile on his face. He leaps into the end zone, and then Josh Allen comes over as a big smile. Grandma said to smile. Josh Allen smiled after that, I'll tell you that. Saw that up close and personal. That was a great performance. Okay, so what I also saw on the field was a passing game that struggled again. And there are several reasons for it. But first and foremost, the biggest reason in the passing game that this team is struggling is, once again, they are having trouble getting open. Receivers are having trouble getting open. And it was evident in that long scramble play for Josh that he took a really long, like 16-yard loss. That wasn't like Josh Allen trying to be a hero ball. I guess it was in that sense, but it wasn't like it was his first couple years in the league where he just doesn't know what to do. He's running around and trying to make a play. It's, I can't find anybody open. I'm going to keep this alive as long as I can. And then he ultimately couldn't. I thought he should have thrown it away, by the way. But Josh Allen also struggled himself in the first half. And I know that's tough to say on Buffalo radio sometimes for fans, but it's true. And he said it. He said his first half wasn't up to his standard. His feet didn't feel comfortable. He was 6 of 13 for 66 yards in the first half. That's not good enough. In the second half, you could say he wasn't much better, but he actually was statistically. It was 6 for 6, and they didn't ask him to do much. I think 6 for 6, 97 yards. One was a long catch and run, which goes on the stat sheet. But 6 for 6, settled down, didn't ask him to do much. But Josh wasn't firing accurately enough in the first half. And overall, when you add that and combine it with receivers not being able to get open, that's a recipe for a passing game that struggles. Now, thank goodness this running game was so good. But when you see a running game that is so good, it is so dominant, it's supposed to help the passing game open, and just didn't see that yesterday. You hope that at some point it does happen, but can it happen with the current group they have? Now, Joshua Palmer being hurt, I do think is a significant blow to the offense. I think he's a guy that you can, you know, rely on to get a little bit more separation, get open like he did against Atlanta a couple times before he got hurt, but they still need more. I believe Gabe Davis is going to play for this team sometime soon. Now, I'm not here to tell you Gabe Davis is the savior, but think about the team and the organization, the way they view things. They're going to have to give up assets to go get somebody from the outside. That person's got to get up to speed to come in, get on the same page. I think internally, Gabe is probably somebody that they'll hope can help contribute. Yesterday, I thought that would be Curtis Samuel. I thought that would be Keon Coleman. That didn't happen. Keon got a couple of throws and catches a little bit later in the game. But early on, there was a ball. I couldn't tell if it was Kincaid or Coleman. I thought it was Kincaid. Josh was trying to throw to. He was short. Coleman was deep. Kind of went in between them. There was another one where Coleman turned around. Maybe should have taken another step back to the quarterback. Nice play by the DB. Knocks it down. They couldn't really get in rhythm there. And you don't want to say forcing it to Keon Coleman, but you know, maybe a couple times they did that as the game went on to get him a couple touches. You know, you don't want to see that happen a lot, I should say, and rely on that. They're going to need some help here at wide receiver. I think it's clear to everybody. Here is the issue, though, and I want to reiterate this again because I've said this many times. Folks, you can't just snap your fingers and go out and trade for a number one wide receiver. And in fact, most number one, if we want to term it that way, these elite guys, number one guys who do everything for you, most number one wide receivers just aren't available and you get them in the offseason. That's how it works. You either draft one and you hope he becomes the number one right away, but it's not happening in some places like in Jacksonville with Brian Thomas Jr. Right? That's not a guarantee that can happen. Or you trade for one like the Bills did with Stephon Diggs back in 2020. That's generally not something you can do at the trade deadline. It's not impossible. What does that cost you? Number one, the assets given up. But the two barriers the Bills really face.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. No long-term contracts required, just security on your terms. Take control of your business security with Ring Business. Get 24/7 audio video recording to capture everything and look for specific moments efficiently with smart AI search. Install it easily yourself or let our pros do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Here to do something like that are, number one, I don't know what team is going to trade a number one wide receiver to you, a top-end receiver. I'm not even looking at it that way anymore. When people say number one, I think the Bills just need some help. I think they need a guy that can help separate, a guy that can get down the field, a guy that can threaten the defense more vertically and in intermediate routes to open things up for other players. To me, that was always a guy like Rashid Shaheed. I think Shaheed is kind of a perfect kind of fit for what they need. Also, because he returns punts and kicks, and they are struggling in that area as well. They need a little bit more juice there. And that would be a guy you could kind of use in both areas on the roster. So I think Shaheed, like, comes to mind for me. But is he a number one? No. But who are you getting at number one? Are the Saints really going to trade Chris Olave? I don't know. That'd be great, but he's had some concussion issues. They say they're not going to trade him. And the issue with a team giving you a player like that is that team, whoever that is, they don't just want to offload really good players if they're young and they're rebuilding and they want to sign those guys again. So it costs you a lot. Okay, that's number one. Number two, and most importantly, and toughest, I think, here is the salary cap. Now, there are guys, $3, $4 million base salaries. You get it down to $1, $2 million. You can afford that because it's prorated rest of the year. But that's some maneuvering. That's contract restructures. There's not a lot of those left the Bills can do. They've done that over the years. They've kicked the can down the road. Again, it's not as easy as people make it out to be a lot just to go and get a wide receiver. But I do think the Bills have to do everything they can to investigate as much as they can to do that. Because that is the one thing in one area of this team right now that I think is holding them back the most on offense. You have the league MVP. You have Josh Allen. It is great to watch this run game. It's amazing. They are great at running the football. They're going to face a team, like they did in the New England Patriots, by the way, a couple weeks ago, that's going to have a nice plan and do a nice job to slow the run game down. Now, the Bills actually had decent numbers overall against the Patriots, but it wasn't dominant like it was yesterday by a wide margin. And when that happens, you have to have answers in the passing game. And as great as Josh Allen is, he needs people to be able to be open to throw the ball to. And I'm not seeing enough of that, but I don't think it's that easy just to snap your fingers and have that happen. This isn't all on Joe Brady either. Can Joe Brady do a better job? Sure. We can pick apart a play here, a play there. Get this guy schemed open. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? I want to take a different approach. I want to throw this one at you. When people criticize Joe Brady for throwing tunnel screen after tunnel screen and short pass after short pass, I say maybe he's doing that because he knows he can't throw the ball down the field. So in order to get the ball to these guys and maybe break a tackle, that's how you have to do it. That is the job of an offensive coordinator. It's not just to go on Madden and pick a play and choose it and go, oh yeah, I got my guy running a Z fly. By the way, I used to play a game. What was it? It wasn't Stratomatic, another game. They had these little cards and they had the names. It was called Z fly, because the Z receiver would want to fly. You say, Z fly. We just ran Z fly all the time, baby. And you spin the wheel, and it goes, brrr, bam. Oh, yeah, touchdown, Z-Fly.
I've never heard of that. I've only ever heard of Stratomatic, the other one.
Well, Stratomatic's the stat one. Yes. This was like a card you match up with another guy with defense and offense. I'm running Z-Fly. What are you running? Oh, cover three. And you put it together, and you spin a wheel, and then the wheel would, like, land on a certain spot on the board, on the card.
Yeah.
And it'd be, like, a 10-yard gain, incomplete, or Z-Fly, touchdown, baby.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, right? So the point is, you can't just run Z-Fly and spin the wheel. That's not how it works in the NFL, right? I mean, you have other teams and coordinators and players who are trying to stop you. And if Joe Brady sees that he can't get the ball down the field in a normal passing fashion, his alternative is to A, run the ball, which they've been good at, and B, throw short passes and get it to guys and get some blocks and get down the field. And that's what they did yesterday with Khalil Shakir. Okay, that's offense. I'll get to your phone calls in just a second. Let's get to the defense. So much made about the defense and what they could do or not do during the bye week. And boy, do we have a lot to chew on today. Because, A, and I gave arrow up to this, if you're going to criticize the coaching staff and coaching for defense and run game and personnel and all that, then I think you have to give them credit, too, for what they did yesterday. They came out of the bye week and said, we are changing personnel. They had, now, granted, two guys were coming back from suspension. We knew that. But, man, Michael Hoyt played a lot and was really, really good and effective. And they put him everywhere just as expected. I'd been saying for weeks, I'm super excited to see Michael Hoyt. I think he'll make a difference. And it was. He was. And I saw it with my own eyes at training camp and in preseason how much they wanted to use this guy around the board, and they did. Larry Ogunjobi was pretty good. We'll get to the injury to Ed Oliver. That sucks, obviously, for the Bills if he's going to be out for long term, and it looks like that could be the case. Max Harrison, though, infusion of bam. How about that? Put him right on the field. I was stunned when they activated him Saturday night, and then for him to play right away. And he did a good job. And then you have Jordan Hancock coming in at safety on passing downs. The Bills got faster and more athletic in one game. Bam. Because of Hoyt and Hancock and Hairston. And then at linebacker, Matt Milano's out again because they're managing him to get him ready and not have him have a setback. Terrell Bernard, he was out as far as playing. He was active, but he didn't play. They didn't really want to use him. Emergency basis only. Folks, they started this game. The starting linebackers were three. Shaq Thompson, Dorian Williams, Joe Andreessen. And that group shut down one of the best running backs in the league. Give the defensive coaching staff credit, personnel changes, and give the players credit for doing a great job of finally being buttoned up on tackling. And the coaches for that as well, for working on that last week a lot. And then, of course, you have Sean McDermott now a part of at least calling the defense. He did not deny when asked yesterday in postgame if he was calling the defense, like a lot of you noticed on the TV screen that he might have been doing. He did not deny it. He didn't give an outright admission that he was doing it. What he said was, it's a joint effort between him and Bobby Babich. So we have changes right now on the defense. I'm kind of excited to see what those changes result in against the Kansas City Chiefs. Nervous anticipation, excited, because the Chiefs are so darn good at what they do on offense. But I want to see how this translates and what happens going forward. All right. That's my spiel. Now it's your turn. 803-0550. Rick in Brockport starts us off. Hi, Rick.
Hey, Sal. How are you, man?
Good, thanks.
Hey, listen, you know, yesterday, great game. I think I only have a lot of things to complain about with what you just got done talking about, all the injuries and certain things that are still going on. But I want to touch on something that I saw from the game film last night. At 1:48 at the halftime, when Josh plowed over, he covered up the ball, he covered up his wrist, and I watched after he went off the field, and he was high-fiving and low-fiving people with his right throwing hand. And as soon as he got off of the field, he was shaking his right hand real violently, like he's been doing about the numbness that goes on. And I'm wondering if that's one of the biggest reasons why we can't get the ball downfield and that he has the Aaron Judge-type injury to his wrist and his his forearm, and is causing him to have difficulty throwing the ball downfield. I certainly don't want Kansas City or anybody else to know this, but it was clear what he did. And if you watch the film,
I'll go back and I'll look. But here's what I'll tell you: I mean, he has not been on the injury report at all.
Right.
So I don't know. I'll look more closely, Rick, and I appreciate you bringing it up, and maybe others noticed too. Could have been maybe he got a stinger on that particular play. I'm not really sure. I'll go back and look, though. I appreciate that. But he hasn't been on the injury report. And, you know, we know that, Josh takes some hits sometimes, and he got a little bit beat up in that Atlanta game. He's had 2 weeks. Nobody said anything about him dealing with anything, But I'll take a look at it. And 148, he said at the end of the half. I haven't seen anything on the sidelines. You know, from me as a sideline reporter, I'll tell you. That's why, you know, you get the insight here on the show after the game. I haven't seen any trainers coming over to him on the sidelines. I would tell you if that were the case because we have to report it. But thanks for that, and I'll take a look. Rob in Connecticut. What's up, Rob?
Good morning, Mr. Capaccio. How are you doing this fine morning?
Well, it's a Buffalo Victory Football Monday, so I'm doing well.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for being my eyes. You know, I was thoroughly happy, even though I was unable to pay attention to the game yesterday. I was out and about, but I would check my phone, you know, from time to time, and I saw there was 19-3 at the half, and then, you know, I checked it later, and I was like, you know what? The defense is doing their job, and I was completely happy with the Canadian Crusher, Mad Max, and Okungjobi. It was everything that I expected, and I'm thoroughly happy with that. Of course, I was listening to the after the postgame show, and, you know, of course, we're all talking about we need that receiver or this or that. That's the one thing that, you know, I agree with. I'm not complaining. But, yeah, Josh needs a little bit of help, but I think we're going to be fine. But I was thoroughly, thoroughly happy with the way the defense performed because that's all we've been complaining about as fans, the defense this, the defense that. And going into this game, how are we going to stop the run? Because I guess their running back was a beast. But I just wanted to say that I was in North Carolina last week. I missed all of WGR 550 because I was representing Connecticut in a visually impaired person's pitching tournament at Outer Banks. It was a national tournament. 540 people were competing. I represented Connecticut because I won first place.
Love it.
In May. And I sprinkled a little luck down there with wearing my Salute to Military Service Buffalo Bills hoodie. And I was getting a lot of, you know, hey, you're a Bills fan? I'd say, yep. And then we're not going to lose three in a row. So we didn't lose three in a row.
All right. Well, listen, thanks, buddy. Congratulations to you. Love it. Great to hear. Appreciate you. Very, very cool of you and to share that story. That's awesome. All right. So, want to go to the previous caller. I just went back. I found it. I'm watching the video. Josh scores a touchdown. He's running off. He's literally using his right hand to high-five everybody, low-five everybody, as the caller said, right? Then there's a shot of him as he gets to the sidelines, and he shakes it, but I actually think he's like, let's go shake it. I don't think he's shaking it in pain, to be honest with you. So I don't know. I mean, you could look at it that way, I guess. I don't think so. This seems like nothing to me. He actually takes his helmet off with his right hand. And he puts the helmet on. I'm still watching. He's got his right hand taking his. I'm watching it right now. Takes the helmet off, puts it down, puts the ball cap on. I think he was shaking his hand like, let's go, let's go. Good job. I don't think it was anything dealing with pain. Just that's my take on it. Let's go to Mike in PA. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Sal. Good morning. Yeah, I'm going to rant a little bit if you allow me to. I'm just disturbed that the Bills allowed the wide receivers to get to this point. Going off of what they had last year, fans were calling at it, and they were just so stubborn that they didn't make moves. I don't know if they could because of the salary cap or whatever, but they should have drafted one. Teams are doing that around the league and having success with it. They're just really, in my opinion, they're wasting one of the best passers in football's career, his prime, and they're. I don't know that they can do anything at the trade deadline. I feel like that backs them up even more. So, I mean, I want them to do something. I'm wondering if Gabe Davis is not going to be their plan B for all of this. And we kind of know what Gabe Davis is all about. I'm tired of these retread people coming into Buffalo. I want new young people around our stud quarterback. It's doing a disservice to Josh Allen to have retreads on the defensive side of the ball too. I mean, some of them might come back and play good for like Poyer. I thought played okay yesterday, but a lot of the time, you know what they are. You didn't sign them to an extension. You let them go. Other teams let them go. And then you put them on your team. I'm not a fan of that anymore. I don't want that. And now with Ed Oliver going down, you know, I'm wondering if defensive tackle is something they have to address and make a splash play. And more so than wide receiver, I know they had a good game yesterday on the defensive side of the ball. And I know there was a lot of positive, especially with Hoyt coming in. But, man, we're going to find out what this team's all about. And Brandon Bean, I'd hate to be you if Kansas City comes in and rips us apart and we have no answer to keep up with them, because, boy, the fans are going to be calling in then.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate the phone call. I think you share a lot of frustration that a lot of fans do. And I do think Gabe Davis is one of the plans. We'll see where that goes with him. I don't, again, think it means like, oh, Gabe Davis is going to come in and save everything. But I do think that he'll play at some point. I think he's getting close. We'll find out about that. The Bills do have one open roster spot. And, yeah, the Ed Oliver injury is going to really hurt this team. And if you want to go out and get a defensive tackle, that's just another spot where you got to trade for. And do you have the money and do you have the assets to go have all these trades? It's hard to do, folks. So I think defensive tackle is actually one of those areas where you generally can find some veterans who can do a, you know, base level enough job for you, right? Versus at wide receiver or at corner. Maybe, you know, you could, because it's a rotational spot, and if you can have a guy that's like, hey, run stuffer, fill up a hole, something like that. But Ed just does so much for this team, and he was dominant again yesterday before he got hurt. We'll get to the Barnes Firm injury report after this timeout. We'll come back here. We'll take more of your phone calls. Good start to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on a Buffalo Football Victory Monday on WGR. Hey, everybody. Tailgate Trivia is back, presented by Total Sports Enterprises Buffalo. Listening during every Bills game for your chance to call in, answer the trivia question, and win autographed Bills merch, courtesy of TSE Buffalo. They do a great job. 803-0550 is the number to call. Back at you, John in Vegas. Good to hear from you, buddy. What's up?
Hey, Sal. How you doing, man?
I'm good.
Good, good. So, Sal, I absolutely loved everything you said this morning, and I was literally going to say exactly what you were saying about Shaheed. There's no way we're going out there and getting the first. Everyone thinks we're going out there and getting a first-round draft pick, taking that away from people. That's just not happening. That's not real world. But Shaheed would be an amazing pickup, and it would help us out with Codrington, dropping him off the roster, which would allow us to have like an extra maybe D tackled, you know, or wide receiver, you know. But we'll see with that. But my biggest concern is that losing Ed Oliver is going to really hurt us, and hopefully maybe there's a way we can get somebody, just anybody from another team that they're, you know, it's very hard to say that they're going to let anybody go right now, but hopefully we can get somebody that Brandon Bean will pick up.
I know people don't like the retreads, as people call it, or former guys, but I'll tell you a name that's been thrown out there, and we talked about this as a media group, and then Matt Parrino tweeted something last night. What about Harrison Phillips? Would you welcome him back?
Absolutely.
He's in New York right now. Now, I don't know. I don't think it would cost much to get him. He doesn't have much remaining on this year's contract. He does have more money next year, but you could, you know, massage that. But that's a guy that I know he loves Buffalo, and he knows this system. If you're looking for guys like that, I'm just throwing a name out there for people.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more. But the only thing I wanted to see with the receivers, the lack of separation. And one thing that I saw yesterday, Sal, that really had me concerned a lot with Coleman, is that he was returning punts. And when I saw that, I started losing faith that they're actually losing faith in him as well about being where he is in the field. One last thing, Sal. This weekend, next weekend coming up, I'll be at the Chiefs game with my daughter for the first time. She's going to her first Bills game. She's really excited. So hopefully I can get to see you and she can meet you, Sal. So,
where are you going to be? You're going to be in that behind the Bills bench area? I saw you the one time there, I think it was, right?
Yeah, right there. Right there again.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'll be over there and make sure you try and hit me up and say hi, okay, brother?
I will. Okay. Hey, take care of yourself, Sal. Yeah. And hopefully we pick up somebody good, man.
You got it, buddy. You got it. Thank you. 803-0550 is the number to call. Let's go to Toronto. Game 3 tonight in L.A. Billy's up there in Toronto where they split the first two in the World Series and split with the Sabres over the weekend, actually. What's going on, Billy?
Yeah, and you should have won both those hockey games, Sal. And listen, Sal, I got to, before I get to my Sabres thing, I got to just tell you something, and it's floored me. I'm a gambler, and I haven't been able to gamble in about a week, and I'll tell you why, Sal.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. And with no long-term contracts required, you can change your setup whenever your business needs change. Protect your business with powerful features designed to keep you in complete control. Get round-the-clock audio-video recording for non-stop protection. Stop scrolling through hours of footage. Find almost any events efficiently with AI search. Keep an eye on up to 4 camera feeds at once across all your locations for total peace of mind. Get trained security professionals to monitor your business around the clock and request emergency when needed. Ring Business is easy to install yourself or let our professional installers do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Ring Business, business security that works for you. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I've told you before that my wife's from Hong Kong, and I've been all through Asia and Japan and Hong Kong for the last year, and met a lot of people down there, and met a guy that's just really well-to-do, and he says, anytime you need something, let me know. Well, Sal, I've got tickets for all four Blue Jay games, and if you're watching the Blue Jays game, if you look at the battery, you can see all the fans behind. Sal, I'm just a little ways up from them. But you know what I did, Sal?
What?
I went to the World Series in 92 and 93, and what they're offering on the open market is mind-boggling, Sal. Mind-boggling what I got for the first. I didn't go to the first two games, and I'm just praying we can get the sixth game back here, and I don't know what I'm going to get for the Game 7 tickets. Sal, I won't even tell you because you won't believe me, but I can buy season's tickets for both the next 5-6 years.
Well, I don't doubt it. I mean, look at, I'm looking right now. I've heard, and I want to see this, tickets for the Chiefs-Bills game right now are astronomical on the secondary market. And I can't imagine what they are for the World Series. I agree.
Yeah, just crazy, Sal. Anyway, so here's the way I see this.
By the way, you know what they say, right? Every time the Blue Jays make the World Series, the Bills make the Super Bowl. Anyway, that's what they say. I don't know.
Yeah. Let's hope we both win, Sal. Right. I mean, let's just put it that way. Anyway, Sal, very simply put with the Bills, I'm not even gonna measure this season. I'm just gonna watch it play because every week we've got something different. We ran the ball like crazy last week. I think this all comes down to, and this is my wild way of thinking, but I just think the Bills looked at the damn schedule this year, and I don't think, I'm not saying they don't get up for games, but they're not being tested, and it just looks like they're looking bad. What's going to happen, we're going to see about the Bills this next week coming up. And if the Bills think that we're going to run the ball down Kansas City's throat, you better think again. We will not run the ball against Kansas City. But I do want to see Josh throw the ball a lot. I do want to see a lot of play action. And enough of this being so obvious where you run the ball on first down and automatically it's second and 10. We're not running the ball on KC. We're going to get a true test of what this team's about.
Well, that didn't happen this week. They ran the ball on first down, and they got yards. I mean, it wasn't second and 10, so it's not what happened. They ran for 240-something yards, man.
No, Sal, I'm saying it was great this week, but we're not going to do that against Kansas City. You can't run the ball on them.
Well, I'll just say, hold on. Just slow down for a second, Billy. Slow down.
Okay. Yeah.
The Panthers' run defense was one of the tops in the league, by the way. Yeah, you might be able to run the ball a little bit against Kansas City. Now, I agree with you. That's not a great formula against a team that can outscore you and score 40 points. I 100% agree. You were playing Andy Dalton on the other side this week. But I don't know what metrics you're looking at, but the Carolina Panthers' run defense is actually very, very good, and the Bills just ran the ball on them very, very well. There's nothing that says they can't do that against Kansas City, who is okay at stopping the run. They're middle of the pack, actually, statistically. The difference is, if you want to play like that, you leave such a small margin for error against an offense in Kansas City that can go down the field and score on you. But I would not dismiss running the ball against the Bills are the best run offense in the league, and they just ran the ball against one of the best run defenses in the league.
Yeah, well, what I say
so
to
I don't
that,
know what, when you say you just can't do it, what is that based on?
Because I've watched a lot of Kansas City football, and I see them start a lot of times with Carolina. Yeah, they got a great run defense because you can throw the ball all over the field on them. That's why you can't run on them. What I'm saying with Kansas City, Sal, I don't want to see a 14. I want to slug it out with Mahomes. Okay. I want to see Josh go toe-to-toe with Mahomes, and I say that's how we're going to win the game.
I understand, but you're just saying things that just don't match up with actually what's happening, Billy. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
It's really not true.
All right,
it's really not true. It's all good, buddy. I'm going to get going. I got more calls. I'm just trying to tell you, like, you can't just blanketly say there's no way they can run the ball in Kansas City when they just ran the ball so well against Carolina. Now, I agree with you. The point is you want to see them go toe-to-toe with Kansas City. That's probably the way you have to win this game. No doubt. It's not because you can't run the ball against Kansas City. It's because their offense is so darn good, you're probably going to have to throw the ball against them to try to keep up. Going into the game against the Carolina Panthers, the Panthers' run defense was actually good. It was one of the better ones in the league. I have to go back and look at the numbers, but now it's middle of the pack after what they gave up there. So anyway, we'll take another phone call here. Brandon in Buffalo. What's up, Brandon?
Hey, Sal. Good morning, Sal. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
To get straight to the point, I'm feeling the same way. Basically, you can feel the energy and the vibe of all the Buffalo fans, Bills Mafia. We got a good running back. We got a good running back, and they can run the ball. Like the last caller, before the last caller, he was a little frustrated, and he was going on his rant about the offense. And the question is, everybody's want to ask, and I know you could probably answer this, Sal, interviewing them and kind of knowing a little bit of the Bills player and kind of knowing a little bit of the...
What do you got? Go ahead. What is it, Brandon? Go ahead, buddy. You're the long way to get to it. What do you got?
Okay, I'm sorry. I basically just want to know, like, what is taking them so long to basically get Josh Allen some help? Is it because of the dead situation and how that worked out, or is it because of... Because people say that it's the cap or...
Yep, that's
true. All that stuff, but you can use picks. Like, if they really wanted to get Josh Allen some help, they can get Josh Allen some help. They can really get in there and get some help. I just really want to know, what is hesitating being in them to
there might not be hesitation. Maybe he's trying, and maybe teams say no. You don't know that, right?
But, Sal, by now, if they...
Right.
But, Sal, it's been going on how long since Diggs left?
Agreed.
And Josh Allen hasn't had any help out there. Any help at all, and they bring these players from other teams that other people got rid of that was third strings on their team, and they come over here and they want to pitch a little bit of life out of them. Like, when are they going to go out there and actually? I think if Dean really wanted to, I think he really can put some pressure on these teams out here and actually go get Josh Allen some help. He can give up a number one pick. Like, Josh Allen literally needs help. And how long is this going to last, though,
I don't know.
Sal?
Okay, Brandon, slow down. Take a breath. It's okay. Take a breath. I'm going to try and help you out here and answer your question. I think it's because they have a miscalculation. You're not wrong. Because they felt that they had more than they have. They felt that they had the right guys and to be able to do what you're saying. And they clearly don't. And it's becoming an issue. Now you get to in the season, that's a different discussion than in the offseason. In the offseason, that's when you made the Stephon Diggs trade. That's when teams are more kind of likely to give you guys on top ends and for draft picks. You're probably not getting that much during the season. And so when you say, when's it going to happen? I don't know, Brandon. I wish I did. I wish I had that crystal ball. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. But you're right. They need more help. But it's not something you can magically wave a wand and force a team to give you their best wide receiver. You can't do that.
I get it. It's just
and the cap and the cap does matter. And the cap does matter, especially when you have only $2 or $3 million available. And you know what's the guy's salary has $6 million. How are you supposed to do that? All that stuff matters, you know, Brandon. And that's tough. And I get it. I'm with you, buddy. I am. I'm not trying to dismiss your point. I think you're right. But I just think that what happened here was a miscalculation on what they had and what it's developed into, and now you have to revisit it, and it's tough to do that at this point.
All right, so I get that. It's just, you know, it's just frustrating. You know, we watch these games and we love our team, and to see a good quarterback like Josh Allen just get wasted. Like, not wasted. I'm not going to say he's wasted, but I'm going to say that his talent is a little bit being wasted to just hand the ball off, and it's just like, that's not going to work in the playoffs. In the playoffs, they're going to find a way to stop James Cook, and you're going to have to go to another avenue, you know? And that's it, man. It's just frustrating.
I know people use the word wasted. I don't like that. The guy won MVP. I don't think that's wasted. Yeah. I mean, I don't think Don Shula wasted Dan Marino's career, you know what I mean? Even though he only went to one Super Bowl, you know what I mean? And didn't win it. So I get it, Brandon. I get your frustration. I'm just trying to be real with you and say, like, I think it's a miscalculation at the time, but now you see it and it's harder to do. And even if Brandon Bean wants to now, I'm not sure that, you know, we can all sit here. I get at this all the time, Brandon. People tweet me and they call me and say, why is Brandon Bean not looking into something? Well, how do you know he's not looking into something, right? I mean, you can't just force someone to trade you their best players. You know what I mean?
I get it. You know, if you don't see nothing happening, Sal, it's just like us fans on the back end are like, what the hell is going on? Like, when are we going to get some help?
I get it, buddy. I get it. Thanks for the phone call. I got to run. Thanks, Brandon. Appreciate
you. Buddy.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks for that. All right, we took a little while to get there with Brandon, but he got it out. That was a good call. We'll take a timeout here. 803-0550 is the number to call in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Hey, folks, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. It only takes 30 minutes once a year to get a potentially life-saving screening. Schedule your mammogram today at Roswell Park with two convenient locations in Buffalo and Williamsville. Visit roswellpark.org/mammography for a quick appointment. 803-0550. We'll take another phone call here from Lou. What's up, Lou?
So, I think that Allen's play in the last three games has clearly deteriorated. His mojo's like wrecked. I think it's a philosophical problem, starting from McDermott and ending with Joe Brady. They're both run-centric. They think that you can win in today's NFL by running the ball, even though it's a less effective way to gain yards than passing it, especially with the liberal passing rules that are around. And nobody plays defense, Sal. They all play zone. So everyone's open all the time. That's why you're having these scores in the 30s.
Well, the Bills receivers aren't open all the time. They're having that discussion.
Carl Jones mentioned that he noticed he followed Moore and he followed Palmer, and that they were getting open in other systems, but not in Joe Brady's system. Brady is really not a passing coordinator. He's run-centric, and when the run gets shut down, the pass is gone. Unless Allen puts on his Superman cape, which he probably will this week, and beat Kansas City, but long-term, it's a real problem because Brady is all about the run, and he's not adept enough to develop a passing scheme. And they still do need real receivers. They drove Diggs out with the run game last seven games of his career here in Buffalo. And they need, like, a Brian Thomas. Or they were all over Zay Bond. But he got into legal trouble, and they exited.
Who was that last one?
Sorry?
Who was that last one you said with legal troubles?
Isaiah Bond looked like...
Oh, I got you. Yeah, okay. Wow.
He looked like he would be another Brian Thomas Jr.
Well, why are the Jags... I'm very curious why the Jags even want to get rid of Brian Thomas Jr. Something's going on there. I mean, again, like, you know, maybe a different change of scenery works for some people, but I don't know why the Jags. I'd love Brian Thomas Jr. I'd love him on the Bills. I think, because I don't really know what's going on there and why they want to move on from him. Jim in Buffalo. Hi, Jim.
Hi, guys. You know, I can't believe what I'm hearing here. Everybody has got to bring it down a notch. We just came off a 40-9 victory. Our back ran for 200 yards. We're 5-2. Have you ever listened to the Ken Carmen show in Cleveland? Listen to that. That's a losing team.
Yep. Actually, it's funny you say that. It's funny you say that. I actually have a clip I'm going to play from that. It was hilarious this morning from Daryl Ryder in Cleveland.
Yeah, it was really good. But look, come on.
Well, I don't know, Jim. I don't know which who you're referring to specifically, but I opened the show by telling you how great James Cook was and how amazing that was.
Okay, all right. I'm not talking about the moderator. I'm talking about the fans.
I get it. Well, you know, I think fans.
Okay, so
fans,
like, relax.
I get it. And you know, I'm the first person to say that a lot of times, which are, you know, Jim, it's never as bad as it seems, and never as good as it seems, right? And you got to bring it in.
Point.
Yeah. It's to
one
a point.
And I'll hang up.
Yeah, you got it. And I'm gonna let you go there. Thanks, Jim. I appreciate it. And you're 5-2. It's great. It's 40-9. It's great. But I don't think it's wrong to recognize the issues that pop up that say you got to be better here, you got to be better there. That's what the team is doing. There's no doubt about that. You know, and fans, a fan's job is to be, you know, emotional and reactionary. My job is to keep it in a safe space for you. And that's what we try to do here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Thanks for the call. We'll take a timeout here. Another hour on the way. A lot to get to. Sit up, stand down. Hey, buddy. Extra point for the sidelines and the Barnes Firm Injury Report here on WGR. That's Josh Allen following the Bills' 40-9 victory over the Carolina Panthers. Bills moved to 5-2 on the season. Sal Capaccio with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Victory Monday, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Also by Northtown Hyundai, Western New York's premier Hyundai dealership. Shop online at northtownhyundai.com. So Adam Schefter has tweeted out what we all probably anticipated. Bills fear that standout defensive tackle Ed Oliver tore his bicep and will be sidelined indefinitely. Oliver is undergoing an MRI to confirm the injury. Well, if it's surgery, folks, that's a multi-month injury, most likely. Could be done for the season. Could be. Pro football doc Dr. David Chow on Twitter last night basically said, at least to the playoffs, it looks like, for something like that. That is a massive, massive blow to a defense that should not probably be able to withstand a massive blow. Could not. But you play anyway. You go forward and you play. They were without Ed Oliver for several games this year already. They're going to have to be without him again. Just a brutal blow to the Bills. That leads off the Barnes Firm Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured for help? Call 1-800-8-MILLION. Ed Oliver, the only injury of note during the game. Although I did hear Joe say this morning, what's up? Osiris Torrance had x-rays. Someone reported that. I didn't see that last night. I was in the locker room doing, do you guys see that? Did someone post that or something? Hold on. Let me see if I have that somewhere. Joe said that during the morning show. Give me one second. Osiris Torrance, injure his right wrist. Someone has here. I'm not really sure. Okay, so I'm not really sure. I heard Joe say that. I don't know anything about that, if that's the case. We'll get something from Sean McDermott later today. He's going to speak at 4 p.m. today, along with coordinators. But the only other notable injury during the game was that Oliver, who was immediately declared out with that bicep injury that now Adam Schefter says Bills fear he tore his bicep. Okay, that said, going into the game, no Matt Milano, no Terrell Bernard to play, but he was active just in case. So we'll keep an eye out on for those guys this week. And, of course, Daquan Jones and Joshua Palmer and their situations as well as the Bills head towards a big week against the Kansas City Chiefs Sunday at 4:25 p.m. Have you looked at the weather yet for Sunday, Joe Kelly? Have you seen what the weather might be like on Sunday? We had Pat Hamer on saying, there could be something going on.
I have not 100% looked yet. But it's supposed to, there is like a whisper of something possibly happening.
Yeah, that's so. Right. So it looks like it's going to rain probably in some capacity. Could be light rain, could be a little heavier, could be nothing during the game, but be ready for it. Mid-40s and a little bit of rain.
Is that football weather to you?
No.
No. Well, the mid-40s
football
part.
Weather was yesterday.
Yeah.
62, 65, sunny, cloudy, what? I don't care. That was great. That's football weather to me. Football weather in the mud. In the, I don't care about that. No, I don't want that. I got to be on the sidelines too. But no, and you know what, though? Maybe it slows down the Chiefs' offense a little bit when it's like that, right? I don't know. If it's, I don't know how wet it's going to be, but just looking ahead. We'll have Pat Hammer on Friday to give you a full weather look for Sunday. Let's go to Rob in Hamburg. Rob, waiting patiently. What's up, buddy?
Hey, bud. I got a question for you.
Yep.
If you got to put a nail in the wall and you go to your toolbox and you don't have a hammer, what do you use to get the nail in the wall?
Well, you're asking the worst person in the world because I'm the least handy person ever with a hammer. I will tell you that, but go ahead.
Well, you would use whatever you have, and that's what Joe Brady's doing.
Thank you. Good.
That's
good.
What Joe
good.
Brady's
I'll
doing
I'll find
now.
A brick. I'll find a brick. I'll find something, right? My son's hockey stick, right? There you go.
Exactly. And that's people are getting mad at Joe Brady and don't understand he's using the tools he has in the toolbox to get the job done.
Yeah.
Yes, we need a wide receiver, and we got to hope that Brandon Bean is Big Baller Bean and not Mr. Bean and get something done. But Joe Brady does not should not be taking any of this heat from people.
Hey, I'm more with you than against you on this. Do I think that Joe Brady's perfect? Of course not. But as I said earlier, if he sees he can't get guys open down the field, what's he supposed to do? Then he gets guys open in
exactly.
other spaces, which is close to the line. And, oh, by the way, the run game looks really good, too. That's the coordinator, too. He's doing a great job. Running, toss, sweep, right. and being dominant, that's a good job. I think people just have this perception because of this, you know, the way we watch football now, the way we see red zone and highlights and play fantasy football and play Madden and all that. People think when they associate offensive coordinator, they associate that with just throwing the ball down the field for 300 yards a game. And that would be great. And the Bills should be able to do that more often. I'm not disagreeing. But because right. they don't have the, as you say, tools to necessarily do that outside of the quarterback, then you're going to have to figure out other ways.
And that's why let's hope that, you know, before the deadline, something gets done. But I do not think Joe Brady should take any heat. I actually think he's doing a great job with what he has.
Thank you, Rob. I appreciate the phone call. Rob called us at 803-0550. That opens up not only one phone line, but a bunch. So we have time and we have room for you to give a call. 803-0550 here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Welcome in on a Buffalo Football Monday, a Victory Monday here on WGR. And we are live on the YouTube and Twitch stream, WGR 550. Hello, everybody. Sal Capaccio. Love to say hi to you. Got the Victory Monday shirt going on. Celebrating a Victory Monday. 40-9, the Bills win. I don't care who you're playing against in this league. You win 40-9. That's a big win. 40-9. Or, I mean, look around the league. There were a lot of blowouts this week. 37-10, 34-10, 32-13, 38-20, 38-14. Crazy blowouts this weekend. Weird, right? Because you had, through the first several weeks, were all these one-score games, and that was not the case this weekend. Very few one-score games. There was one in, that was it? Just one? Is that it? The only one-score game was the 39-38 Jets game over the Bengals?
Yeah, it was the only close one of the weekend, yeah.
I don't see any that are also that are one-score, because even like 49ers 11 they lost by, 10 last night, Packers-Steelers,
yeah.
We'll get to that later, but yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty, there were some pretty, like, I guess, big margins.
Yes.
Not really anything super close.
No, I yeah, for sure. How did the Bills lose to the Falcons?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I mean, this is a team that now got shut out by the team the Bills just beat yesterday, got shut out 30-0, and then lost 34-10 to the Dolphins.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I've never believed it's a week-to-week league more than I do now, because that's where we're at.
It is very true. Now they go to New England. Maybe they can get healthy, and maybe they can do something against the Patriots to help out here, because the Patriots... By the way, how about the Patriots? Then they go to the Colts. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's the Falcons. I'm looking at the wrong schedule. Patriots,
I wish they played the Colts. That'd be
no,
awesome.
No, they go to the Bucs, though. They go to the Bucs, though. That's a tough game for them.
It will be, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And we will find out a little bit more about the Patriots in that game than now, because right now they're just rolling along and have this kind of easier schedule. And then guess what happens? They have a bye week before they play the Bills.
Yeah, they get to rest up.
They get to rest up and mm-hmm. be ready.
They do have a couple games, though, like the Falcons, like, and then the Bucs, like you said. Those could be a big difference coming down to it, you know? Like,
yeah, I mean,
gotta win.
As much as the Bills' schedule looked way, you know, way more doable and gettable earlier, now it's the Chiefs, the Dolphins, who look much better. You say the Bucs, the Texans, the Steelers, the Bengals, who are alive a little bit right now, despite that win yesterday. By the way, the Bills need to score 50 on the Bengals. I mean, Justin Fields and that offense scored 39 yesterday. The Bills need to score 50 on the Bengals when they come here. We'll see about that game in December. This one, 4:25 start against the Chiefs on Sunday here on WGR. 803-0550 is the number to call. All right, let's get to our extra point from the sidelines. It is a deeper look at something that happened in the game from my sideline view. And, of course, it is brought to you by Catholic Health. Catholic Health, the right way to care. I mean, how can you deny Buffalo South, we love to call it? As I said all week last week, all of you listening, all of you watching, everybody knows somebody who moved to Charlotte, North Carolina from Buffalo, New York. Somebody from Western New York down to Charlotte. It's just, I had plenty of friends there myself. I know you probably have friends there. Maybe you were there. Going down there, traveling down, great weather for it. But folks, I after Bills road games, what I like to do is take a video of the sidelines and the fans that come down, you know, to the wall behind the Bills bench. And it's the what I call obligatory Bills Mafia road game victory celebration. And you got to check it out. This is on Twitter yesterday, at Sal Sports. The two videos, I actually posted three of them yesterday. The first one is right behind the Bills bench, about 30 seconds worth of the fans. The Bills fans. Second one is on a reply to that, right near the tunnel on the other side of the field, same thing. And then a third one I posted was on the way out. I'm on a team bus and there was a Bills backers bar and party going on. I'm like, man, even there, they're looking at the team bus going, yeah, let's go. It's kind of cool. It's just a really cool vibe, really cool feeling. So check that out at Sal Sports. But that is our extra point from the sidelines brought to you by Catholic Health. Catholic Health, the right way to care. And, yeah, we will get to sit up, stand down, and hey, buddy, here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show as we get a little bit deeper into the program. Let's get to John in Lockport, who's up next. Hi, John.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Man, I feel the Bills have a really great team, and I feel that our strength is our run game, mm-hmm. and that's kind of our identity this season. So if we're good at it, we might as well keep doing it.
Hey, I mean, I'm not against doing what works. Said it yesterday. Said it. You can be upset that they're not throwing the ball down the field, and I get it. They're having struggles doing that. But, man, when you're running the ball like that and you run toss, sweep, and break off. I mean, James Cook was running for 11 yards a carry. He ran for 11 yards a carry, I should say. Crazy. And he just kept doing it. Go ahead. Keep rolling. Keep doing it. James Cook, by the way, has been nominated for the FedEx Aaron Ground Player of the Week. Now we're going to see if he's nominated for the, or if he wins the AFC Offensive Player of the Week. He's got to get it, right? James Cook's got to get it. There are only two other people. Jonathan Taylor is certainly one of them.
Yeah, James Cook, though, outperformed him in some metrics, though. So that I would say it is Cook. There's
so
no question.
They both scored two touchdowns. Taylor ran for 153. Cook ran for 216 and the most yards in Bills franchise history since 1976. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's got to be that. The other guy I was looking at for this, because I saw my buddy Brendan Cristal over in Denver, he was touting Bo Nix for what he was able to do. And Bo Nix threw for four touchdowns, 247, four touchdowns. I don't know if that gets it over James Cook in his day, though.
I don't know. It's also the Dallas defense. Not that that has really anything to do with giving the award or whatever it does, but...
Is C.J. Stroud good again?
I don't know if I'd say that. I don't know if I'd say he's good again, but... Because the game against Seattle on Monday night was not great, and that was just a few days ago.
That's right.
So I'd say he might be teetering on kind of being okay, but it's been rough for him since his rookie season. He has not been
Last few games, though. Because he started the season in... I remember I even... tweeted out something like the documentary on his regression is going to be interesting because it's really weird, right? Since his rookie year. But since then, Baltimore, he threw for four touchdowns, 244. Seattle was not a good day, as you said, 229, only 46%. But yesterday, 77%, 318 and two touchdowns against the Robert Saleh defense. Pretty darn good.
That is pretty good, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Bills play them, by the way, on a Thursday night, November 20th. And you know what's happening on Tuesday night, November 18th, Joe Kelly? Do you know what's happening?
What's happening?
Matt Bove and I are going to be live for It's Always Game Day in Buffalo over at Batavia Downs.
Oh,
so
nice.
Come on over and see us. We'll be there for doing that. So that'll be cool. That's a great week, so it'll be really fun. Speaking of being live, everybody, join me this Thursday. All right, this Thursday. I'm going to be doing the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show live from Northtown Kia during this show, this time slot, 3900 Sheridan Drive in Amherst, Thursday, October 30th. That's in a few days from now, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Stop by, say hi, grab a Paula's Donuts while supplies last, score some awesome WGR 550 swag, Nortown Automotive, the official automotive dealer of the Buffalo Bills. Bob in Florida. What's up, Bob?
Hey, Sal. Thanks for the call.
Yep.
I just wanted to talk about the defense and how I think that they're going to develop over the next few weeks and actually help that offense. Yeah. Here's the thing with Josh. I think he's and the offense a little they're nervous about the defense and they want to do more than what they can. He needs to take what he gets. He missed Shakir on the first drive of the game. He had a screen set up on the right, and then he missed that pass to Ray Davis on the same play. Ended up a field goal. Could have been a touchdown. But that defense, I mean, Hoik and I hate saying his name.
Hoyt.
Michael Hoik. Yep. Yeah.
Just pretend it's H-O-Y-T, Hoyt.
I gotcha. Hey, by the way, Poyer was where he needed to be, which is what we needed more than anything else, and I think it made a big difference. But Hoik in there is just, I mean, he's going to be a monster.
Yeah.
One more thing, if you don't mind. I love that the caller a couple calls ago was like, hey, use what's in the toolbox. That's all we have. And he's doing a great job with it. I mean, sure, if we had a burner, it would work out a little better. And one more thing, and I'm done, and thanks for listening. The guys on the 9 o'clock show are amazing, or the whatever time they start in the morning. They are amazing in how they can take a 40-9 win and make it a poo-poo show. I don't get it.
All right. Well, that's their call. You can go. You can call them if you want to complain about that.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Thanks. It's all right. Just this is my show, 10 to 12, and you want to call up and talk about the Bills. It's what we do. All right. 803-0550 is the number to call here in the Nortown Automotive Extra Point Show. I listened to the morning show. I thought it was great, and I don't think they did that. I think that they're doing exactly what we're doing here. We're talking about the good, talking about the bad, taking the phone calls on it as you have an opportunity to do right here today on the Nortown Automotive Extra Point Show. I do not think enough is being made about the defensive performance yesterday. And I'm about to do that because, yes, we can sit here and talk about need a wide receiver. Passing game struggled, no doubt. Running game amazing. And we've done all that. Folks, the defense was great yesterday. They were great. And they're going to lose that Oliver, and that sucks. But I'm telling you, one thing I kept saying for weeks right here, that Michael Hoyt's going to change this defense. Not make it some sort of early 2000s Baltimore Ravens or 1985 Bears. That's not what I'm saying. But he's going to change the way they play. He's going to give more versatility and options to Sean McDermott and Bobby Babich. And boy, did he. He's lining up inside. He's lining up outside. And when you're up multiple scores, that just really allows a defense to pin its ears back and get after the quarterback, and that's what they did. So that helped. But man, he changes the defense. He changes the way they can play. He is a guy they identified to bring into this defense to be able to move around as a chess piece, so to speak. And that's what they did yesterday. And I'm super excited to see what that looks like going forward. But it wasn't the only move they made. Max Harrison comes in right away, and he looked good. And when I mean good, like, he didn't hurt the team. He wasn't asked to do too much because the Bills were suffocating overall as a team. But when he was called upon, he was in position and did his job. He did his job. He had a great tackle, too, by the way, on the perimeter against Horn. And I think Horn, actually, that's the play he got hurt on a tackle from Max Harrison. I think that might have been because Horn went out after that. So, yeah, I mean, I like that. And then Jordan Hancock comes in and provides a little more athleticism and speed. The Bills clearly went to the bye week and said, we have to change things. And that's what you want, right? That's what everybody's wanted from the coaching staff. A coaching staff that says, identify this, change this. Why aren't they doing that? They did that over the bye week. Give them credit. I think the personnel changes were really, really positive. And you got to give the coaching staff credit for identifying, recognizing, and having the wherewithal and the willingness to make those changes. Now, the one thing we haven't talked a lot about, but it's going to be a big story going forward, I think, it appears Sean McDermott is calling defensive plays. And he did not deny that, but he said it's in conjunction with Bobby Babich. And that's something that I think we need to kind of start talking about and thinking about. What does that look like? There's a lot of people who will tell you can't have the head coach calling defensive plays because the head coach, who is a defensive play caller, has to take care of the game and game management. You can't do that when you're calling defensive plays. You'll hear that from people. But you'll have the same people tell you, why is Bobby Babich calling plays? He's not up to the job. Folks, you can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. So if you're going to want Bobby Babich to not be the play caller, and be, okay, good, Sean McDermott's calling plays, then don't complain that you have a defensive play caller and say, well, how's he supposed to manage the team in the game? And I do think it's a balance, and you have to be able to do that, but he's done it before. He says it's in conjunction with Bobby. I don't know what that means. I think that's something we have to see going forward. They're not going to reveal the secrets and how they're doing it, ins and outs of all that communication specifically. But I think it is something to talk about and see going forward here, because McDermott was asked specifically in the press conference, were you calling defensive plays? He said, doing it together with Bobby Babich, and Bobby's a great coach, and they'll continue to do it that way. Let's go to Bill in Buffalo. Hi, Bill. You're on WGR.
Hi, Sal. Good morning. I'm kind of nervous. This is like the first time I've called, but been a Bills fan all my life. I noticed when they put we have a new safety and three new linebackers in there starting the game. Not all of them, but Joe Andreessen and someone else was new too. It just seemed to give us a little more physicality, and those guys were really enthusiastic and a little had an edge to them. Do you think that they'll start next week?
No, this was injury based more than anything. Sean McDermott confirmed after the game that Terrell Bernard, they just wanted to hold him back a little bit more. So that's why they went with Shaq Thompson at middle linebacker. But Terrell was dressed if they really needed him to play. And then Matt Milano didn't play. Matt Milano is going to be your starting weak side linebacker, but he didn't play. So the reason why you had Dorian Williams out there playing and Joe Andreessen in a third linebacker set was because of the injuries. Now, that said, Bill, it's a great question, and I agree with your point that those guys did a really good job yesterday. What I do think has happened, though, is it just shows that when the Bills need to, they can have multiple options now at linebacker. But to answer your question, I think next week, I think when Terrell Bernard is healthy, he's the starting middle linebacker. There's no question. And I think when Matt Milano's healthy, he's your starting weak side linebacker. But at least you have options and know you can put guys in there to do the job. That's the way I look at it.
Okay, thank you. Have a good day.
And Bill, don't be nervous. You did a great job, buddy. Thank you.
All right.
You got it. Call again. Good job. I like that. Okay. We'll get to sit up, stand down. Hey, buddy, we'll also get to a look around the league as we move forward here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you in a Buffalo football victory Monday. It's good to have a victory. Good to have a victory Monday. If you look at the standings in the AFC right now, Patriots had another victory. They're 6-2. They have now won 5 games in a row. I mean, for all of the, oh my God, Patriots, look how great they are. They also have lost to the Raiders and Steelers earlier in the season. But, you know, I mean, this is a league you just don't know on a week-to-week basis. Week-to-week league, right? You just keep playing. And the Bills will get their shot at the Patriots coming up on December 14th. 803-0550, the telephone number here. You want to hit me up? You want to not do that and just talk in the chat box? You can do that as well. And on the YouTube stream on Twitch, check it out. Say hi. Got a great community in there, the bullpen, as we like to call it. And we'll do more here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WG. Hey, listen, for your chance to win 2 tickets to see Eric Church with special guest Ella Langley at KeyBank Center on February 13th, courtesy of Messina Touring Group. Tickets go on sale Friday, October 3rd at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com. Sal Capaccio here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Want to remind everybody that I will be live Thursday at Northtown Kia for this show. Come on by. Say hi. 3900 Sheridan Drive in Amherst. 10 to 12. Grab a Paula's Donuts while supplies last. Score some awesome WGR swag. Northtown Automotive, the official automotive dealer of the Buffalo Bills. Let's get to Zach in Lakeview. Hi, Zach. Go ahead.
Hey, Sal. Two things. Your arrows up, arrows down. Wide receiver separation, huge arrow down. And then the big dogs up front, offensive defensive line, was a huge arrow up for me. Played football for 18 years, so seeing that on the offensive line. So seeing that was a bright spot. My question for you is, people say, even a previous caller that you had, Sean McDermott, we don't want him calling play calls because he needs to be invested in the game management. How come when a head coach such as Andy Reid calls the offensive play calls, it's not an issue and there is involved in the game, but it would be a problem for a defensive coach. I mean, someone that played for so long, I don't understand that correlation as to why that would be an issue.
Because generally the thought is, and this doesn't have to be black and white, as you know, Zach, right? I mean, there's a lot of nuance here, but generally the thought is when you're an offensive play caller, you're thinking ahead to time and distance. You can't control that as a defensive play caller because the other team has the ball. Generally, game management comes along with offensive football, which is, okay, how do I want to play this series? What do I want to do time-wise? If you're the defensive play caller, you're so invested in thinking about the next series on defense that people think that takes away from how you're thinking to manage the game when you're on offense, if that makes sense. Yes or no? You know what I mean?
That's why you have coordinators at the end of
right.
the day, right?
Yep, like that's right.
He
exactly
says
right.
all the time how yep. he has a conglomerate or
right.
you know, we discuss this as a group. It's I guess that goes hand in hand. I mean, so
I think people think it this way. This is a better way for me to say it. People believe, whether it's right or wrong, people believe that if you're concentrating on calling the defensive plays and setting up what's going up next, and you're not as much really involved in what's going on when your offense is on the field. But if you're an offensive play caller, you're already doing that organically, you know, so it just makes it an easier right. thing to do during the game.
Well, okay. All right. I guess that's... Schematically, I think it's just a different way to look at it.
Yeah, I don't know if it's right or wrong. I just think it's a perception. And we can see. And I think a good coach is a good coach, right? If you're a good coach, you could be able to handle that and do that. I don't know if I explained that right, but I think everybody understands what I'm saying. It's not, you know, offensive play callers don't get this flack. They don't. That's right. Andy Reid doesn't. He's a great coach, though. An offensive play caller, as a head coach, people think that's kind of natural. You're calling the plays, you're thinking ahead, you're thinking about time management. That goes hand in hand with what you're doing calling the plays. A defensive play caller is calling the plays on your defensive end, and then when your offense has the ball, you're thinking about what to do on defense, so you're not thinking about the offensive game management point, which is kind of your job, your big job as a head coach, and that's why people push back on that. That's all I'm saying. That if you're going to have Sean McDermott call the defensive plays and you want that, then you better be willing to say, hey, I'm okay with that part of it that he's able to do. That's why people say you should have an offensive player call as a head coach. I don't believe that. I've never had. I think a good coach is a good coach. A good head coach is a good head coach. Doesn't matter which side of the ball that head coach comes from. Some head coaches are really good. They came from offense. Some are defense. Some are special teams. It doesn't matter. Right? I mean, Bill Cowher was a special teams coordinator. He seemed to have no problem. I think special teams coordinators, by the way, actually make really good head coaches because they're the ones, as they come up, who are involved in the entire roster. They coach. They understand guys who play wide receiver and DB because they have to put them all together. So I actually think game management and roster management and how all that piece works, I think that's why special teams coordinators sometimes should get a bigger look and better look to be a head coach. Good call, though. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. 803-0550 is the telephone number to call. Let's get to what happened in the NFL over the weekend. We start with Thursday night. We talked about this on Friday. The Chargers with a big win over the Vikings, 37-10. The Chargers moved to 5-3. Vikings dropped to 3-4. But yesterday, Dolphins all over the Atlanta Falcons, 34-10. Tua Tagovailoa with 4 touchdown passes on only 205 yards passing, by the way. But the Dolphins did a great job on defense against the Kirk Cousins-led and Drake London-less Atlanta Falcons, 34-10. Miami gets their second win of the year. Baltimore, they get a win without Lamar Jackson and without Derrick Henry doing too much. He did have 2 touchdowns, I should say, but 71 yards, 3.4 yards a carry. Snoop, Tyler Huntley, 186 yards passing, but really the key here was they forced Caleb Williams into an interception. They were able to contain DeAndre Swift to 45 yards, and the Baltimore Ravens moved to 2-5. The Bears dropped to 4-3. How about the New York Jets? 39 points against the Bengals. This is a Jets team that can't get out of their own way on offense. All of a sudden, they scored 39 points. Hold on, I got to do something here. I got to look at this. Let me read this. Ready? Okay, ready? One of these things is not like the other. Here we go. You ready? 6, 11, 22, 21, 27, 10, 39. That's the number of points the Jets scored previously until this game.
Yeah, that's pretty remarkable.
Right? Think about that. They did score 32 against the Steelers of all teams to start the year. Remember that?
Yeah.
And they lost that game.
Yep.
But in this game, I mean, I said it, Joe, the Bills better score 50 against the Bengals, I think. the way their defense looks right now. Now, I know that that's hard, and I'm being a bit sarcastic there, but holy cow.
Yeah, they should have no problem putting up a good number of points. If they could put 40 up against Carolina, who actually has a good rushing defense,
yeah,
like kind of going into the game, there's no reason they shouldn't be able to pick apart the Bengals' defense. But it's Tyrod Taylor expected to start. Oh, no, we have to go back with Justin Fields again. And
did you hear his post-game? 39
points. I saw the quote. I didn't catch it.
He said something about how it was really tough on him last week. He went into a closet and cried.
Yes.
He was very vulnerable.
Yeah.
Very open. I love that he was able to share that. And I'm happy for Justin Fields. Jets fans, it's been a long road to get their first win. 133 yards from Breece Hall. Joe Flacco, 223, two touchdowns. One goes to T. Higgins, one goes to Chase Brown, who also scored on the ground. The Bengals dropped to 3-5, Jets 1-7. Don't look now, but the Houston Texans are coming to life a little bit here. They're now 3-4 after C.J. Stroud threw for 318 and two touchdowns against a very good 49ers defense, albeit a little bit banged up now. 49ers offense couldn't do much. Christian McCaffrey only 25 yards on the ground. Mac Jones, 193 passing and two touchdowns. 49ers 5-3, Texans 3-4. Bills play Texans on Thursday night, November 20th. Boy, the Cleveland Browns, we're going to have something on them in a minute, but they get five sacks from Myles Garrett, and they lose. Myles Garrett becomes the first player in NFL history, I believe, to have five sacks and lose a game.
Yeah.
Is that what I read?
I believe so.
Yeah.
And I've seen people say, oh, I feel for him, like that stinks. He did choose to stay there.
He chose this.
He was all about, oh, it's not about the money. I just want to go win somewhere.
Right.
And then he took the money. And that's what you're dealing with.
That's exactly right. The Browns actually had a lead in this game, 7-3, 7-6 late in the second quarter. The Patriots have a field goal at the end of the quarter, the end of the half, and then they go out in the second half and just run away with it, 32-13. And how about Drake May? Another fantastic performance, 18 of 24, 282, three touchdowns and an interception for Drake May and the Patriots, who go to 6-2 to lead the AFC East. Browns dropped to 2-6. The Philadelphia Eagles sort of kind of got back on track, especially Saquon Barkley, who's had a tough time running the ball this year, but not yesterday. 150 and a tutty against the New York Giants, who lose Cam Scataboo. Awful injury for Cam Scataboo.
Yeah, that was gruesome. He's had a phenomenal season,
yeah,
and it's a shame to see him go out like that,
yeah,
but you know, he'll come back from that. I didn't see exactly what it was. I knew he was going to a local hospital for further evaluation.
I think dislocated ankle was what I read, but we'll see exactly what it was.
Yeah.
But it didn't look good from what everybody said, and I didn't particularly see it. Jackson Dart, 193 yards passing and a touchdown. Jalen Hurts, four touchdown passes.
A little bit of a return to form for
the 179.
Eagles.
He also ran for 22 yards. So Eagles, 6-2. It's funny. Here come the Eagles at 6-2. All the discourse about the Eagles, WIP and Philly, our sister station, they're taking calls about how bad they are. They're 6-2, oh, by the way,
right,
the defending champs. The Giants dropped to 2-6. You have to wonder about the future of Brian Daboll at this point, where it's going in New York. Probably end of the year. I'm sure he survives this season, but let's see, because the quarterback has looked pretty good. Little chance here, but their schedule's tough.
It is a tough schedule. They have a lot of games, tough games to play, and I mean, Dart has actually been somewhat impressive.
Yeah.
Like last week, even when they lost to the Broncos, that was just an insane comeback by Denver. Like, yeah, Jackson Dart did throw an interception there, but it was like 33 points in the last few minutes there. They came back. It's unbelievable.
The Saints dropped to 1-7, which gets you to, do they trade Shaheed? Do they trade Olave? What are they doing with their roster? But yesterday they couldn't do much against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Only 3 points scored. Bucks win 23-3. Bucks move to 6-2. Also, they're coming to Buffalo here in a few weeks, but they couldn't really run the ball as well as they normally could. The Saints defense is not that bad, folks. The Saints, they kept Baker Mayfield in check. 152, no touchdowns. The leading rusher for the Bucs was Sean Tucker with 42 yards, former Syracuse Orange, by the way. Sean Tucker, 42 yards. But the Saints' offense isn't very good. And a couple of different quarterbacks for them. Shuck, I
believe. Yeah, they did bench Rattler yesterday.
They did bench him, and they both had 136 for Rattler, 128 for Shuck. Neither one threw a touchdown pass, and the Saints dropped to 1-7. Big win for the Broncos. They look good over the Dallas Cowboys, 44-24. They beat the Cowboys. They go to 6-2 also. How about the Denver Broncos right now? It's 6-2. They're leading the AFC West at this point with that record. The Cowboys dropped to 3-4-1. The Cowboys They get from CeeDee Lamb. What do you? I thought he had a pretty good day. I guess not as much as I thought. Looking at the stats here, their offense scores 24 points there. This prolific offense that the Broncos did a nice job against, but the Broncos offense on the other side was the story of this game. J.K. Dobbins, 111 yards rushing, but it was R.J. Harvey with the two scores on the ground. Bo Nix, 247 and four touchdown passes for the Broncos. Like I said, who now go to 6-2. How about the Colts, though? 7-1, and it's not ending anytime soon with the schedule in front of them. They just take care of the Titans, 38-14. Jonathan Taylor, 153 yards rushing and two touchdowns. Daniel Jones, 272 passing and three touchdowns. They're just a machine right now. Tajay Spears ran for 59, and Cam Ward threw for 259 for the Titans, who dropped to 1-7. They could wind up with the number one pick 2 years in a row if this keeps up. And then late last night, Steelers had a 16-7 lead over the Packers, but then the Packers, and a 19-14 lead, but then the Packers just start rattling off yards and points, and Jordan Love completes 20 straight passes in the game and winds up with 360 and three touchdowns against that very, very highly paid Steelers defense that really can't seem to stop anybody right now. Aaron Rodgers, in his first game against the Packers after joining the Steelers, 24 of 36, 219 and two touchdowns. Not enough, though. It was Tucker Kraft, 7 catches, 143, and 2 touchdowns. He might win NFC Offensive Player of the Week, a tight end for the Green Bay Packers, who now go to 5-1-1, Steelers 4-3. Take a look at these standings. They are still atop. Steelers are 4-3. They're still only one game ahead of the Bengals, by the way. They're two wins, ahead of the Ravens at 2-5. They're still leading the division. Broncos 6-2, Chargers 5-3, Chiefs 4-3. And tonight, Chiefs take on the Washington Commanders. We got that game?
Believe so, yeah.
Because no Sabres tonight.
No Sabres tonight. I'll double check. But
Just want to make sure. All right, we'll take a timeout here. Sit up, stand down, and hey, buddy, on the way. I got some audio I got to play for you on hey, buddy. My buddies over in a different city covering another team. I'll tell you about that when we get back here on WGR. Okay, real quick, let's get the sit-up stand down that I got a hey buddy for you with some audio because let's just set up a little bit on what the Ravens have in front of them, okay? Ravens get a win. They hold out Lamar. They now have two wins. I'm not trying to scare anybody here, but I want to tell you. They get the Dolphins on Thursday night, then the Vikings, then the Browns, then the Jets, then the Bengals, and the Steelers, and the Bengals. I mean, the Ravens might be able to go on a run here. Let's keep an eye out on the Ravens. Let's sit up a little bit on the Baltimore Ravens' possibilities here and just kind of pay attention to them a little bit. Let's stand down on the veteran quarterback fill-ins yesterday. Oh, my God. Or this weekend. Between Kirk Cousins, Andy Dalton, Carson Wentz, and even Joe Flacco. 0-4 combined and not good numbers. The veteran quarterback bump did not really happen for a lot of the teams and even the teams that had already been using them. Let's get to Hey Buddy.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
Hey Buddy.
Dudes, you know this dude?
What's up, dude?
Hey Buddy.
Bunny, sit down.
Who's my buddy this week?
I'm your buddy, guy! He's your guy, friend! I'm your friend, buddy!
On WGR.
Blue, you're my boy!
Sports Radio 550.
All right, this comes to us. My buddy is Daryl Ryder, and my friends in Cleveland from our Odyssey sister station, The Fan 92.3. I'm going to play for you audio from this morning. Folks, we've been here before. If you're mad about the passing game and the quarterback and the receivers or whatever, I want you to listen to this. We have been here before. It could always be like it is now in Cleveland. This is Daryl Ryder. This is from the Ken Carmen show, I believe, but I have to see who's actually on the show here. Ken Carmen show with Anthony Lima. Here we go. This is this morning, 92.3 The Fan.
It's not too early. When you can't complete passes in practice, you can't play in the National Football League.
Keep going, Daryl. You got hate in your heart. Let it out. Let's go.
I don't have hate in my heart. I'm so frustrated that Andrew Berry did this. That Andrew Berry spent a top 100 pick on this guy. That Andrew Berry and the Browns are shoving this guy down fans' throats, trying to tell you, yeah, he can play. He's a serious guy. Like, no, he's not. You're not serious, people.
You're not serious people. I might. Can we do something? Can we just clip that forward, those four words? Because the way he said that would be a great liner that we could use on this show. You're not serious people about something, anything, right? It's great. That's Daryl Ryder, our buddy. My buddy. That's my buddy today. That's 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. And he's talking about Dylan Gabriel, by the way, there as the quarterback. I was laughing when I heard that. That is from the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima. Go check it out, by the way. 923 The Fan on X. You can see that and plenty more rants from there. All right, One Bills Live comes your way today. Show up in the Bulldog at 3. I believe I'm going to join them at 5 p.m. today to talk a little bit more about the Bills. Before that, we'll get an update from Sean McDermott and coordinators at 4 p.m. today. And then I'll tell you all about what they said at 5 with Show up in the Bulldog. Thanks for being with me. Thanks for hanging on a Buffalo football victory Monday. Bullpen, great job today. Callers as well. One Bills Live up next. Thank you very much to Owen Power and... Did I say Owen Power? Owen Parker and Owen Power. Thanks to Owen Power, by the way. Although he should have scored on the overtime goal the other night and went off his stick. Thanks to Owen Parker, Joe Kelly. Talk to you next time.
We're not serious people.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. No long-term contracts required, just security on your terms. Take control of your business security with Ring Business. Get 24/7 audio video recording to capture everything and look for specific moments efficiently with smart AI search. Install it easily yourself or let our pros do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most. Running it. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring business page on r.com for more information.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.